Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? All right, if you remember, we're talking about the woes, and Kenny feels quite woeful this morning, I can see. So we're ready to get started. Kenny, who would you like to open you up?
Shane.
Shane.
Yep. That donut didn't stop anybody.
We know which camp you're in.
Stand up, sir.
All right. Father God, I just want to thank you today for my dad, and I pray your anointing on him right now as he brings the word of God, and I pray it just ministers to all of our hearts here today, that we can just learn more about you and just spread that gospel that you want us to spread, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. As you can tell, I like having background music in my teaching. Is that okay? Nope. As Bob was saying, we've been teaching this last month at least on the woes. Matthew 23, they went over some of them already. Verse 13, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Right? You shut the door on the kingdom of heaven to people's faces. Yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who enter who are trying to. Woe to you teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe. We've covered that. And if you read that, I mean, seriously, when you think about it, you think, whoa, really? And this isn't just scripture. This is Jesus talking. This is him emphasizing the seriousness of this. It's something that you need to look at. When Jesus says, whoa, you need to pay attention. Right? For me, verse 16, it says, woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by an oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Right? So we're talking about a couple of different things here. We're talking about oaths, first of all. One of Pastor Don's favorite things. Vow. Oath, pledge. Anybody ever make a pledge? Brian, have you ever made a pledge? Brian made a pledge last week, along with everybody in the congregation, correct, Brian?
Yes.
Yep, we all stood up and we made a pledge. You guys remember what that was? Who remembers what it was? It was a pledge. It's at a flag. You going to protect that flag? Yeah, you're going to protect what it encompasses, right? It encompasses more than just the flag. You stood and looked at the flag, but there's something that it encompasses behind that. And you made a pledge to that. And it's important to know what that means. All too often, just like growing up, we stood up in school and we made a pledge. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, right? And it talks about what that stands for. Here, they're talking about swearing, making a pledge, making a vow, making an oath, right? Now, are we to be making oaths?
Yes.
Are we to be making vows?
Yes.
Right? Are we to be swearing by something?
Yes.
Does Jesus say that we should be making oaths and vows?
Yes.
He does.
Yes.
Bob, does he?
Yes, he does. Yes.
Marriage vows?
But more importantly, he explains what you swear by and what you vow to. He gives us guidelines, and that's what's important.
All right, let's see. It says, again, you have heard it said that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot count even one hair, white or black. All you need to say is yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. What Christ is counting on is your word.
Your word is your
word is a vow. Your word should be an oath. Your word should hold a weight that you swear by. We think a lot of times that our word, what does it mean? When we give somebody our word, when we say something, where's the weight of that behind it? We think, okay, well, here's my word, but now I'm going to make an oath, and that means something more now. I made a vow to my wife when I married her. It was done in words. What did I vow to do? It was all those words that you had to back up. So, Jesus, you make an oath. You make an oath before God. And as Pastor Don says, you better believe God's going to make you honor it. Dwayne.
Hold on, Dwayne. You don't have to honor it, but there will certainly be consequences.
Yes, there will.
Two things. When you make a marriage vow and break it, do you fulfill? Do you don't fulfill your God-given destiny breaking it? And then do you make a vow to the church? If you break that vow, do you don't fulfill your destiny or no? Or does it work to the good?
Very good questions, Dwayne. I mean, seriously, in this day and age, making a marriage vow, where's the weight behind that?
In our prenuptial agreement.
In your prenuptial. See, Bob didn't need one. Bob didn't have nothing.
No.
Sharon needed one.
Still don't.
But that's where the rubber meets the road, in the sense, is that when we give our word, are we going to be bound to that word? A lot of times when we give our word, we're going to say, well, I gave my word, but then we differentiate just like they did here. They wanted to differentiate what they were going to give their oath to, what it meant. Well, I gave my word to my wife, but it all depends on how she acts.
Absolutely.
If she doesn't do what she said, then why should I have to do what I have to do?
Yes.
So my oath is only as good as what she does. Yes, Charlie.
Hold on, Charlie.
I'm not going to try to go against what you just said, but that could make this a debate. But if you do that, there's further consequences. But then again, you know, and a lot of times when people do take those marriage vows, a lot of people today, they do not take those seriously. I mean, I've seen it. Dime a dozen.
Well, there again, if you don't take them seriously, what good is the rest of their word?
That's right.
That's why Jesus says that it's our word. It's like, oh, well, I made a vow here, but everything else is wishy-washy. Everything else that I do or say is wishy-washy. He's saying it's the whole thing. It's all of us. It's our word. If we give our word, we need to understand what it is that you're doing.
Right.
You're giving of yourself a completeness, a wholeness. And we want to differentiate, just like the Pharisees here, they want to differentiate, right? And they said, here, you blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? First, the gold. Everybody, the gold's. In man's eyes, gold was something then, right? In man's eyes, gold is still something. Here they're saying that the temple, which was God's house, the temple is what made the gold holy. The temple is what made the gold sacred. Now they're wanting to do away with the temple and say that it's the things that they put into the temple. everything that goes into that temple is going to be sacred because the temple is sacred. It's like everything that they put on the altar, the gift. This is, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. So is it the gift that's holy, or is it the altar that made it holy? It's the altar. So what is it when it comes to our word? What's going to turn around and be, are we going to be a people that keep our word? And this is so true. What about with our kids? Do we keep our word with our kids? Oftentimes you say, Shane? Oftentimes we don't even think a lot of times when we speak our words, right? Usually I have to get to my fifth thought when I'm upset. Right, Shane? That's something we grew up with. Let me get to my fifth thought. And my fifth thought, I was like, Shane, you're grounded. You can't drive. You can't do this. You said, I thought you had to get to your fifth thought. That was. The first three, you died. I said, so if the fifth one was merciful, it was grace, it was, you know, patience and kindness. You just didn't realize that. Right? Because when you start speaking words, we have the words of life. Our tongue is a double-edged sword. We can cut to the quick. When we tell our kids something, we can have the best intentions. We can be as sincere as possible. But the best thing is you better back it up. Pastor Don. Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pastor.
I don't know how many of you remember, we used to have an exchange student from Germany years ago, back in the early 2000s. And when she was living with us, my oldest daughter, Chrissy, and my youngest daughter, Lizzie, I had made them a promise to take them to Wheels Inn, which was over in Chatham, Ontario. Well, we never got the opportunity to do it. And so it became a joke between Lizzie and this German exchange student. Her name was Jasmine. And so whenever they met, you know, they would always say, yeah, my dad's going to take us over to, you know, Wheels Inn. Now it's already 10 years later, you know. So my daughter was working in Park Athletic. And I came in there one day, and I had to pick up some equipment. And there was a couple in there, and, you know, I started talking with them. I said, well, where are you guys from? We're from Chatham, Ontario. I said, and Lizzie was staying in there. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to take her there one day. And they go, well, you can't because they tore it down 10 years ago. And Lizzie just looked at me, you know, and had that little look in her eyes like, I can't believe it, you know. And then she started playing it up, you know, I'm suffering emotionally that my dad never fulfilled his word to me to take me to Chatham, you know, to Wheels Inn. But that's, you know, that becomes a joke. But you're exactly right, Kenny, that when we give our word, we're not to give it lightly. We should think about it, think about the consequences, the commitment that it might entail. And, you know, it says in one of the Psalms, one of the things that the Lord honors is a man who keeps his oath.
If you don't keep your oath, it's a lie, isn't it? Where are liars going?
We're to keep our word. You know, so it's important. If you're going to say something, if you're going to say you're going to do something, mm-hmm. you need to turn around and make sure you can do it. You make sure that you can back it up. Here's some people that took an oath that they swore by something, and they kept it. And they weren't even saved. Right? King Herod, he made an oath. Right? In Mark 6, verse 14, King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. Right? How did that come about? For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother's, Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him. Knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, when Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. So he liked John. He protected John. So how did it come about that he beheaded him? Well, finally the opportune time came on his birthday. Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and mighty commanders, military commanders, and leading the men of Galilee. So when the daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner. Yes, the king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. Right? Right there was his words. Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath. So he was emphasizing that his word was true. Now, if he didn't promise it with an oath, would he still be obliged to do it? Yes, he would. But he emphasized his word to be true. He says, he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? And the mother said, the head of John the Baptist. And he fulfilled his word to the point that she didn't just ask for his head, she wanted it on a platter. You guys ever hear that? Yep, wanted it on a platter. So he had him executed, had his head brought in on a platter. Now, you guys are all thinking like I was thinking, I would have taken half the kingdom. You know, you could have dealt with John the Baptist in many different ways, but see, John the Baptist was under the king's protection. So the king, in and of himself, was protecting John the Baptist. So there had to be a way that the enemy got around that. And that's why he was foolish enough to throw out those words, and it cost him. It cost him big time that he had to do something that he didn't even want to do. You know, in his mind, I'm sure he thought that, hey, she may take half my kingdom. And that's what he thought. Only to come to realize that what he did is he had to turn around and give orders to have John's head.
Hey, Kenny, I always thought like you, you had to take half the kingdom. She already had the whole kingdom. Because whatever she wanted, she just had to go through her mother. That's the type of control that her mother had over. He thought he was king, but he was just a figurehead. His wife really controlled everything.
And John was trying to pull that away from her. So by getting him killed, she was keeping the whole kingdom.
Exactly. Another one, another oath that was taken, right? It cost. It says, once when Jacob, this is in Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Just gave it away. But he swore an oath. He emphasized once again his word. There's times in our life that we emphasize our word. Is there not?
Yes.
When you go to court, you're supposed to emphasize your word. What's the word you're emphasizing? To tell the truth. Now, I find it amazing that they have you do these things at that time. So, in other words, they're calling you a liar before you come up, with all intention of lying, but once you get up there, they're going to actually make you speak it, that I swear to tell the truth. Because you swearing to tell the truth, you're swearing not just in that court of law, not just in front of those people, but in reality, you're swearing in front of God Almighty to tell the truth. That your words carry some weight. That's why I tell my wife, I just need to be quiet, not say nothing. Right? Just be quiet. Don't say nothing. Just be quiet. Don't say nothing.
I thought you told you Kenny that.
Did you? Dwayne, Charlie, they both had something.
Hold on. All right. He relinquishes the floor here.
Is that a promise?
Is that an oath? He just made an oath.
No, a promise to Adam.
First question is, what happens if you break a vow? What does God do to you? What's the consequences? Does he give a little bit of mercy or no? Second question is a contract with your insurance or a contract with the government, say your driver's license, say something, your lease.
Your income tax.
Something like that. Is that also a contract where you have to keep your word?
Well, I'm sure many people have found out.
That's a good question.
I mean, if I could tell you, but if you want personal experience, try not paying your taxes. And you'll find out. You'll be able to come back and give a testimony of it.
When you get out.
Yeah, don't think the government doesn't take your vow very seriously. You know, if you file for bankruptcy and you have a student loan, you can have all your debt eliminated except one, that student loan. You know why? Because the government controls it. So they're not as merciful as God is. He can forgive you for a lot of mistakes. The U.S. government, they want their money. So, yeah, that's, you know, whether it's in your finances, whether it's whatever you do, you have to sit down, you sign that contract. Your driver's license is a vow that you're going to obey the laws of the state when you're up on the road and, you know, keeping your car, insurance, all those different things. So you can't get around it. And all vows and all oaths are really an act of religion. They're a religious commitment. Whether you believe in God or not, you're making that vow. So it's very, very important, Dwayne, and God does take it seriously. And yes, God can forgive you for it, but you see that there are consequences. You know, look at society today with how many broken marriage vows. And what does that lead to? Broken up families, emotional, spiritual problems for children. I mean, this thing just snowballs and keeps going and going. And it's because we don't take our word seriously. And there are societies today, you give your word. You don't need a contract. You know, it used to be that, you shook hands or you just gave a verbal commitment. It was expected. You know, back in the 60s, you know, if somebody filed for bankruptcy, that was looked down upon. Or if somebody went through a divorce, you know, because that was a representation of their character, you know. They couldn't be trusted. I had an uncle who owned a business here. He owned a little fruit market, and he went bankrupt. The next 20 years, he spent paying off his creditors. He refused to file for bankruptcy because it was such a negative, you know, a kind of a black spot on your name. Today, we think nothing of it, you know. Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah. So it's, you know, business is a lot different than in personal, but yet things happen. But, yeah, that is a very, very important thing to give your word.
One of the things about giving our word and whatnot is the consequences. Now, in fulfilling our word, it says in Numbers 3:2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word but must do everything he said. Deuteronomy 23:21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. Now, the consequences, a lot of times, may be delayed. And if they're delayed, we get this sense of, see, it wasn't really important to honor my word. Mm-hmm. What was the consequences of me not honoring my word? And that's where we need to turn around and focus. What's the consequences of us not honoring our word? That's what you were asking, Dwayne. What's the consequences of not paying your taxes? What's the consequences of breaking your marriage vow? What's the consequences of breaking a vow with God? One, you're breaking relationship. You're hurting your relationship. You're bringing separation between you and God, which is interesting enough because we're breaking relationship and breaking our vow and our oath to God, the very one that is faithful and has always been faithful unconditionally to us. He's been faithful despite us playing the prostitute and running and doing the things that we do. He's been faithful.
Does God make vows?
Yes, he does. And because of his vows and his promises is why we're here now. Because he's honored them. In spite of us.
Yep.
In spite of our actions, in spite of our forefathers' actions, he's honored us. He's honored his word. He stands upon that. You can stand upon his word. That's why with this is so important, to stand upon his word for us to reflect him. Are we people standing upon our word? When you say amen, you're standing in agreement with what was said. You guys ever say amen when Pastor Don preaches? Be careful. You're standing. You're making a vow. You're making a statement that, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. When you're singing that song, words are coming out of your mouth. Those words are carrying a weight. They're emphasizing what you're to do and how you're to act. They're just not songs and a nice rhythm. They're words that you're supposed to be thinking about and acting upon. And we, just like the Pharisees, we can be just as blind and differentiate. Well, I need to act upon this. I need to act upon that. And we want to pick and choose what we act upon. When it says to turn the other cheek, we're going to pick and choose? Well, it depends on who it is, right? When it says to be one who extends mercy, it's easy to extend mercy to my kid. What about the one that spitefully uses you? It's harder to act upon that. So you take those words that are being said, those words that are being spoken, you digest them, and you need to live by them. You don't need to go around making oaths and vows that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Amen?
Amen.
We're called to do it. God, right, it talked about the temple. Where's the temple now?
We're the new temple.
And he lives and dwells
in us.
In us. As Joshua would say, we're to consecrate ourselves. We're to be set apart as a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. You know, a peculiar people in this day and age are people that keep their word. You know, that you figure it out. You get these presidential candidates, just like you did in the past, and they give their word to one group. They go to just the opposite group, and they give their word to that group.
Yes.
And they give they can't even keep their word. You know, they're giving their word out there, hey, this is what we're going to do. And it means what? You got to see the character of the individual. The character of the individual when their word, right? The Israelites gave their word to the Gibeonites, even though the Gibeonites deceived them, that they would be spared. And they had to do it. God made them honor it. And then when Saul, I believe it was Saul, did not do it, there was consequences. Because they weren't honoring their word. Because it was God that they were reflecting. They were God's chosen people. You are God's chosen instrument. In and of itself, you need to stand, tremble, and fear when you start speaking his word.
What's one of the titles of Christ? The Word of God. Why is he given that title?
You know, and we're going to encounter this every moment of our day. The words that come from our mouth. Yes, Dwayne.
Hold on, Dwayne. Here you go. Excuse me, Jack.
Now, what happens if you make a promise to God, didn't do it, and then you do it and you repent and do it? What happens then?
Is that right? Well, there was two sons that went into a field, right? They were supposed to go out and work in the field. One says, I'm not doing it. About halfway through the day, he changed his mind. He went out and did it. The other one said he was going to do it. And never went. Which one did what God asked?
First one.
So luckily, there's a chance to change your mind. It's never too late.
What happened? Did he get blessed?
Did he get blessed?
He did.
He came to his senses.
Oh, he got blessed.
Did he get blessed?
Yeah,
he finally became obedient.
He did.
Did he get to live with himself for that first half of the day with no torment? Luckily, he had a conscience, and he decided, hey, you know what? I think it'd be better for me to get out here in this field, right, Shane, and start doing the work that I've been asked to do.
He probably got not blessed in the first time, but the second time he did.
Well, there's always consequences. He was able to forego the consequences because of his quick repentance. See, that's just it. Our word, when we do fall and stumble, because it's not are we, it's when we do fall and stumble.
Apparently you said you weren't going to ask anything.
We need to turn around and be quick to repent.
We have an example.
Ricardo.
Ricardo. Oh.
I just got a quick statement. For what Dwayne was saying, I think that conviction in itself is a blessing.
Yes, it can be. It can be, yes.
So do we see the importance of our word, our words? Our words are action. Do we see the importance of our action? You know, what's amazing is that when somebody's given their word for something, and they've kept it or they've broken it, it doesn't matter how far back. We still remember. You know, we bring up things like Bablo Island. When I was a kid, 5 years old, my dad said he would turn around and take us if we did this. There's an emphasis on keeping your word, that it just never leaves you, that you bring this up. You young lady, make sure your dad, if you ask him for something, say, listen, Dad, you said. And then we usually have to come back with, well, I said if I wasn't busy. I'm really busy. I said if I wasn't, you know, I meant that, well, you know, and we squirm. And so when we say that, we got to be careful. If the Lord willing, we can do this. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, just a comment about what Pastor Don said, reminded me of a saying in Arabic that can also be found in the Bible when referring to the name of Jesus or any other messenger from God. The word of God is translated to Kalim Allah. Kalim means word, and Allah means God. So it's right there, like in the original Aramaic Semitic languages, literally translated to the word of God.
Amen. Like angels are messengers of God. When they bring God's word and you don't listen, who are you not listening to? God.
Hey, can you give the microphone to my wife?
Your wife. She'd
like to share.
I would be honored. Preach it. Preach it.
She had said something about words. And the lack thereof, when Jesus was on being accused, Jesus kept his mouth shut.
When Jesus was being crucified, it said that he never opened his mouth. And I was listening to a teaching, and she was saying that she thought that he never opened his mouth because every word out of God's mouth came into existence, and everything that he would have said, he knew that he was fulfilling the destiny that was upon him, and he didn't want to call down angels from heaven yet, or those were the things he wasn't supposed to do because he is so powerful and so full of authority. Whatever he speaks was into existence, so he kept his mouth shut so that he wouldn't speak anything that wasn't supposed to be spoken at that time.
Hear that, Shane? Be quiet. Oh, that's right. You don't carry that kind of authority yet.
After 41 years, I still don't.
Nope. That's just it. And the word is so powerful that when Pastor Don asks something, right, do we take his word as being more powerful, more authoritative than somebody else asking us? Do we reverence that? It's like God's word. Do we reverence that? Is there? Oh, wait a second. So when Pastor Don says, listen, I'd like you for you to do this, 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 and this, do we take into consideration who it is that we're is being asked, who's asking us?
And the consequences if we don't.
Oh, my. Right? Well, we're going to close in prayer. I have to get downstairs. I got you. Joshua Aaron, why don't you close us in prayer? I'd like to take this opportunity to invite everybody down to pray.
Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us to gather here in your house, Lord. I pray that we take this time to reverence you and look into ourselves and make sure that we're right with you, Lord, and that we'd examine our words each day, Lord, and weigh them heavily, that we would speak what you want us to speak, Lord, and be a mouth for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.